Jump shot. It goes. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for the show. Thursday edition of the show today, doing it much earlier than the past few nights this week. But nonetheless, as always, every Thursday we have on David Cobb from the Commercial Appeal to talk Grizzlies with us. What's going on, David?
Man, not much. New year. The Grizzlies are starting it two games out of the eighth seed. How about that?
How about that? You know, that's exciting. Are your New Year's resolutions already holding up? I'll be honest with you. Mine are not.
I really didn't have any.
I really stopped making those a long time ago. I stopped making resolutions a long time ago just because my idea, if you just aim low, you'll never be disappointed, you know?
That's exactly right. That's what growing up as a Tennessee football fan taught me. You know, the best way to lessen the sting of disappointment is to just have no expectations, and then you're not disappointed.
I like that. That's how we're going to move forward through this new year, just not being disappointed in ourselves, and that's all you can ask for. But you mentioned the Grizzlies are close to that playoff spot. What says you about the Grizzlies making the playoffs? Does it matter to you? Do you think it has an effect on whether they give this pick away to Boston? Where do you land on that whole scenario there?
You know, our viewpoints towards New Year's resolutions, I think, are actually like a healthy way to view the Grizzlies in the playoff race. Like, have no expectations, you know?
Yeah.
like why would you expect this Grizzlies team to make the playoffs? That's pretty unreasonable when you look at their roster and you look at everything about them. So I just don't know that that's anything that we should expect. So I would say don't be disappointed if they don't, because it's just not really, I don't think, a reasonable thing to expect.
Right.
But man, it's fun to have a reason to look at the standings. You know, I was went out with a buddy of mine the other night. You know, the Grizzlies have had a few days off here, and we were just sitting at this restaurant. We look up at the TV and the Hornets were playing the Thunder, and like, who in Memphis would have any reason to care about the Thunder playing the Hornets except this guy? You know, he's a big Grizzlies fan, so he's like pulling for the Hornets to like beat the Thunder. And I'm like, oh yeah, because of the eight
seed,
right? And he's like, yeah, we need the Thunder to lose. And I mean, that's fun, you know.
It
like,
is.
Who would have thought that like in December in Memphis we'd be like, you know, rooting for other teams to lose to help the Grizzlies in the playoff race. So I mean, to me, that's the beauty of this. That's the only benefit of it. And like I said, I think it's unreasonable to expect this team to move into the playoffs.
It is unreasonable just because of the roster, and it doesn't necessarily prove they're going to get any better in this roster, especially the trade Jay Crowder, who's played, not that he's been great this season, but he's played 20, 28 minutes a game for the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is a big part of the rotation. The same thing with Solomon Hill. Those guys, well, Solomon Hill's been better than he probably his career averages, so to speak, but you know, those guys have played a lot of minutes for this team. So there is no reason to expect that, because they could quite well get much, much worse before the end of the year for sure, just because of the roster, depending on what they do. Are you still in the camp they're going to trade both those guys 100%? Like they're going to be gone on trade deadline?
I think they should be. I mean, I wrote last week that it's time for the Grizzlies to get ready for life with one fewer veteran. And then they go and they play the other night without Jay Crowder, who missed a game because of ankle soreness and who is questionable for the Kings game tonight, Thursday, for the same reason. They looked really good against Charlotte without him. And I think it's, I mean, a one-game sample, but I think it goes to show that I think his impact on this team is waning, and not necessarily just because he's having a bad shooting season. I know he's not shooting well, You've mentioned that he plays a lot of minutes, and he does do other things, like he plays decent perimeter defense. But the other players are good enough that I don't feel like there's actually going to be any drop-off, or not at least not a noticeable one, when you lose Jay Crowder. And if there's not going to be any sort of a drop-off, and I mean, what does it even matter if there is? I just think it's time to start playing some of the other wings more minutes. I mean, there's really no excuse for what happened with Kyle Anderson a couple weeks ago, where he was dipping down below 10 minutes a night there for a couple of games. I mean, that's a guy that you've got 2.5 seasons and a lot of money still tied up in. And, you know, he's not getting minutes because Jay Crowder is. And so I think the front office recognizes that. I think they understand that, you know, it's wiser in the long run to invest in these guys who are going to be a part of this thing. You know, maybe D'Anthony Melton and Dylan Brooks, they're both going to be restricted free agents. So you got to figure out who you want to, you know, invest in there, or maybe if you want to invest in both, or maybe if you don't want to invest in either. I don't know. There's still a lot of season left, and you need those guys to play a lot if you want to answer those questions, in my opinion. And one of the best ways to create that, you know, make sure that happens, is to get rid of Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill, or either that, or you're going to just, you need to put them on the bench at some point. And I mean, I just think that you can trade them. I think you'll be able to trade them. And so I think the Grizzlies certainly will. And I don't know if they'll be packaged in something else, or if those guys will go out on their own or what. And you may not hardly get anything for them, but I think that's the direction they need to go.
Is it as simple as Jay Crowder's taking Kyle Anderson's minutes? Is it that simple that that's the reason why he's not playing?
No. I mean, you know, it's more complicated than that. I mean,
but that's part of it, though, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, and Solomon Hill too, you could say,
right? But I mean, like Kyle Anderson, it's not just someone's in front of him. There's something different. Whether Taylor doesn't view him in this roster, I don't know. Maybe the front office, I don't know what it is, but it is. I even asked him last night. You and Ryan are both saying that. I just asked him about his heel, and he said, "No, it's really not that big a deal." So, like, what is it?
Yeah, I don't know. I need to dive into the advanced stats on Kyle Anderson. This would be a good piece to do this week or next week, and just sort of come up with some theories kind of on maybe why he is or isn't finding a cemented role. One thing with Kyle that I think is vital for his, I think, long-term place in this style and in Jenkins' system is for him to continue getting comfortable again shooting the basketball. And I think he was never a great shooter to begin with, but I think he's even less confident and less comfortable in his shot right now because of the lingering shoulder issue that required surgery. And now he's sort of tried to reconstruct his shot. And I did write about this a couple weeks ago. He's, you know, working with Bob Tate, who is out in LA, shooting coach, on reconstructing his shot. And this is a situation where he has a player development guy with a cell phone who has Bob on FaceTime. And the player development guy is essentially videoing Kyle's shooting drills back to Bob Tate, who's on FaceTime. And they're working together to sort of rebuild his shot and get him back to where he feels comfortable shooting. I think maybe a lot of it comes down to that for Kyle, because while he does so many good things, we know that the emphasis for Taylor Jenkins is pace and space.
Yeah.
And this is a guy nicknamed Slow-Mo who doesn't shoot very well. So
he's slow. Hesitant in that corner three. He is very hesitant.
Exactly. And so, you know, I think Kyle Anderson does a lot of good things. I think Taylor Jenkins knows that Kyle Anderson does a lot of good things. He acknowledged it the other night when he talked about all the assists that he had. But I don't think that he's a perfect fit for the system because of how uncomfortable he is shooting the ball. So I think that something's got to give. Either Kyle has to start knocking down 38% of his corner threes over an extended period of time, or Jenkins has to be like, you know what, I got to like get over this and just realize that, you know, he does some really good things and figure out a way to maximize and utilize and get the most out of this investment. And to me, that is very much unresolved, and we're still less than half the way through the season. But it's, to me, something that's unanswered at this point is his long-term fit. And I think it's a little bit of both. It's his shot and it's Jenkins coming to grips with who Kyle is as a player.
I spent a lot of time watching Kyle warm up just because of the time I get at the game. He just always happens to be warming up at that time. And I do the same thing when I get to the game, and I'm sure you do the same thing. I walk out onto the floor. I get there a little later than you do usually, but I walk out on the floor. I sit on court side, and I just watch them shoot. And I spent a lot of time watching Kyle shoot, and he's always had this hitch in his shot.
Right at the
arc of his shot, and he still does. Like, it's almost
– yeah.
It's very apparent.
I was surprised when he kind of told me he was remaking his shot because
yeah,
it's not necessarily like on first look, you don't really see it because he still has the hitch. Yeah. So it's not even a bad shot.
Like it's not a bad shot, honestly. Like technically speaking, that hitch just screws him up. I mean, every time he gets there, and it's less prevalent when he's catching and shooting, and if he shoots right away, or excuse me, walking into a shot, than it is when he catches and shoots. When he walks into a shot, right, it's much better, which is why his floaters and that game when I go to the rim is much better than you would probably normally see out of someone that shoots that badly from three. But that's the reality of the situation. Is he just? I don't know what it is, and then it is definitely something that if he's remaking it, it's still not fixed, or it's still the same way. So it's definitely weird.
Yeah,
but I've noticed that, and that's. I think if he can get that hitch out of the shot, it's a pretty good looking shot, and it just moves the ball left or right sometimes when it gets there. So let's take a quick break. We're already over time on that, but let's take a quick break. We'll come right back. We're going to talk about our decade list, top 10 Grizzlies of the decade when we get back. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in all the action with MyBookie. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Welcome back to the show, talking with David Cobb of The Commercial Appeal. I didn't even mean to talk about Kyle Anderson in the first segment, but here we are. And that's what we did, and that's okay. Like, it just, I'm just curious. We really hadn't had that conversation yet. But nonetheless, I think he deserves more minutes. I think you think he deserves more minutes. And you mentioned that you're going to do a deep dive of the analytics. I like that idea because I was going to do that, but now I'm not. And I'll just read your article. I like that plan way better than me doing it and having to do a show on it. So much better idea. Than me doing it. So I look forward to that article, and I look forward to wondering why, figuring out why he doesn't play more. Nonetheless, we talked about this on the show yesterday with Joe Mullinex, because he kind of orchestrated this whole decade, top 10 Grizzlies of the decade list. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I do want to talk to you about it. And I think we had this short conversation at the game on Sunday, and I kind of agree with you. There is a case that you can make for core four in really any order. Like, it didn't, and it really depends on how you view the Grizzlies, those particular Grizzlies, and how your connection is to them. I mean, I have a 10-foot Zeebo poster hanging in my wall in my office, so Zeebo was clearly one for me. I don't think I saw yours. What was your top five?
Yeah, okay, let me pull it up just to make sure I've got it right. Okay, let's see. Okay, I have Zeebo one. So I just want to make that clear, because
Zeebo was one.
That, I was saying that you could say, you know, that Tony is one, or you could say that since Conley is the all-time leading scorer that he's one, or you know that Mark was a defensive player of the year, so he's one. I'm saying that you can make the case for any of the four to be number one, but people were getting mad at me and saying no, Zeebo's the only one who's number one. To be clear, I did vote Zeebo number one. I just think that you can intelligently make the case for the other three to be number one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I totally agree.
I had Zeebo. Yeah, I had Zeebo, Conley two, Tony Allen three, Marc Gasol four. And then I had I put Rudy Gay five. This is immediately after the core four, it gets hard to pick the next six best of the decade.
Well, surprisingly, Joe and I were talking about this yesterday. Surprisingly, there's not that many good role players in this decade. And that's what's more disappointing, is that there was a good team and there was really never good good players around it. So that was really at the end of the conversation was, well, you know what? This is kind of disappointing and sad now because there just wasn't that many role players to put on the list. Like, yeah, if Vince Carter is making your list.
Right. Yeah, he's eight. So I go 6 through 10. I go Tayshaun Prince, Courtney Lee, Vince Carter, OJ Mayo, and Jamichael Green. I mean, I don't feel great about any of them, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, of course they all contributed. I think ultimately, like, I kind of went based more off their contributions to key teams. So maybe Jared Bayless could have made it. Maybe Quincy Pondexter could have made it. Beno Udrih, I guess, candidate. It was kind of fun just to, like, reflect on some of those other names and stuff. But it was a more challenging exercise than I anticipated. And the thing that you can also say is that, like, what's the criteria? Because if it, you know, you could say that if it's the most talented players of the decade, well, you could say that Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. deserve to be in there.
They were on my list. Ja Morant, I had it at 6. I had him high.
Yeah.
I didn't care.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you know, Joe was like, oh, he's played less than 30 games. But I mean, you're talking
he's
about
the
most
best player the Grizzlies have ever had, David. Like,
they may have already sold more Ja Morant jerseys than. I mean, this is conjecture, but I think it's possible that by the end of this season, his rookie season, there will have been more Ja Morant jerseys sold worldwide than of any other Grizzlies player in franchise history.
100%. Yeah. The conversation that has changed over the course of the last few months, particularly pertaining to this Grizzlies team, is because of Ja Morant. You see more people tweeting about it. You see more national people writing about it. You see the highlights of the main Twitter accounts posting videos of Ja Morant's dunks and missed dunks. And we literally had a Twitter tweet storm a couple weeks ago because of a missed dunk over Kevin Love, a dunk that he never even made. And that's what we're like. I did a 6-minute segment on a dunk that Ja Morant never even made.
That's amazing. And you know, it's reflected today when he is ranked as the number 10 guard in the Western Conference for the first round of NBA fan all-star voting. I mean, that's
really?
Something
I didn't see that. That's impressive.
Probably like an hour, like less than an hour ago. And so that came out, and it's just another reflection or indication of what we're talking about, which is this unprecedented level of celebrity for a Grizzlies player.
Yeah, no, it absolutely – I mean – that's impressive. The fact that he's on any all-star voting list at all, like, is impressive to me and exciting. It really is. I miss. Who'd you have 6, 7, 8, 9? Go do that again. I missed that because I was talking about Ja Morant.
Yeah, no problem. So I go Tayshaun 6, Courtney Lee 7, Vince Carter 8, OJ Mayo 9, Jamichael Green 10. Now, I recognize that Vince Carter and Jamichael Green, their contributions came, I guess Vince, he was around for a team that was really good, but I don't know. It's hard. Like I said, like, I think you could have made the case for Quincy Pondexter. I think you could have made the case for Jared Bayless. But you know, Jamichael Green is like the longest tenured player of the decade outside of the core four. And I know he was around for these last, you know, the last two seasons, which weren't very good, but I mean, just in terms of longevity, I felt like he needed to be 10 because, you know, these other role players, Jared Bayless was only here for like a season and a half, which when you think back on it is surprising because, I don't know, in my mind, he was here for longer, I guess because he played in some really big games. And so he's in some of these memories. And so you just sort of associate him with being a part of it for longer than he was. I don't know. But like, I just didn't feel right putting him in there when he was with the team for such a short time.
Yeah, and that's also the problem I had because I sat down and I was like, I was with you, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be easy. And I sat down and I was like, I got to a 5, and I was like, oh, I don't know what to do here. And so, which is also why I put Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. in there as well, just because I was like, look, if we're just talking about guys who are really good at basketball, then that's what I'm going with. I mean, I put the first 5 in order of just kind of, I think, emotional ties versus also kind of basketball talent, but. At the same time, it's like, I don't really know what to do, so I'm just going to put Ja and Jaren in there because I think they're really good at basketball. And I just leave it at that. So,
Did you think about Mike Miller and Shane Battier at all?
When I first started it, I was like, oh, I didn't wasn't thinking like decade. I was like, just top 10 Grizzlies. Like, oh, well, Shane, Mike, Pal.
Right.
And then
right.
I was like, oh, wait, never mind. And we talked about this on Sunday. I was like, I should have snuck Mike and Shane in there just because they played, you know, in those few seasons that didn't really matter. Like, those weren't the contribution seasons to the Grizzlies, but like, they came back and played. I should have snuck them in there and just said, well, you know what? They played in that decade and
they did.
I win this game. So
it was a technicality. I mean, they were both a part of the early, very early portion of the decade
yeah.
in their second stints. But I mean, all of their most meaningful contributions came in the prior decade, the first time they were a part of the team. So I thought about sneaking them in. So if you wanted to be easy, you wanted to make it easy, you could go core four, Zebo, Conley, TA, Mark, and then you go Ja, Jaren. That gets you to six. And then you slide Mike Miller and Shane Battier in there, and that gets you to eight.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's not all that hard. But I don't know. I just kind of felt like that would be a little bit of a cop-out. So
I did too. That's ultimately why – that's really why I didn't do it. Because I was like, look, that's kind of – I feel like that's just a cop-out. And no one else is going to do that. And I'll be that one guy that's like, look, I gained the system. Joke's on you, because I found a way to make it easier on me. But either way, I think it's an interesting debate.
And then you put Allen Iverson in. Well,
there you go.
Decade he was, but you throw AI and Andre Iguodala in there, and then you get to 10, right?
Like perfect
best and players.
Or those are who they are players.
Wouldn't Gilbert Arenas, was he a Grizzly in this decade? He was a Grizzly.
I think so. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Yes, he was a Grizzly in this decade.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's anyway. That's.
It was fun though. Like, and I appreciated like the debate, like that it sparked among like just like the other night when we were waiting for the locker room to open. Like that was a really good debate. And like Sane just like thought I was crazy for suggesting that it could be argued that Zubo is not the clear cut number one. And I'm like, hey, yo, just whenever I want the world to know, I did vote Zubo number one.
Yes. Yes. I agree. Zubo is one. That's just me. But I can understand how you would try to make a debate for other players because you know, like Joe, I think he put Mark one. I don't even know. Several people put Mark one, and I was like, "Look, I don't think that's true at all." But like, well, whatever. Like, Mike Conley did way more for this organization than Mark ever did, and on the basketball court. Nonetheless, I mean, you could do however you want because it's really about how you feel towards those players. Like, it's an emotional connection. It's also a basketball connection. There's a lot that goes into it. Without the criteria, if we had a criteria that said, "Okay, you gotta have." You know, it's got to be basketball play. What's the most talented players or whatever it is? Like, what is the person or player that meant most to the city? Now, that might've been TA. Like, you know, as far as if you just like meaningful players right. that connected with the city the most, maybe that's TA. I don't know. I think it's still Zebo, but you can make a case for it. That's all I'm saying. So let's take another quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to preview the Grizzlies Kings game coming up after the break. Welcome back to the show, talking with David Cobb, beat writer for the Commercial Appeal that covers the Grizzlies. I normally do a separate preview show on today's game days, and they're usually like 10, 12 minutes in length, but I figured today we could do that preview with David Cobb because it's usually just me talking about this team or the good team they're playing, and I'm telling usually, and I'm give the keys to the game, what the Grizzlies need to do. However, the Grizzlies just played the Kings not too long ago, and that podcast is probably still pretty relevant to tonight's game. So I was going to talk to you, David, get your opinion on what you think the Grizzlies should do to get this win against the Kings. Now, they already played the Kings, again, not that long ago. They lost they beat the Kings 119-115. Do the Grizzlies, again, a Bud Hit only had 8 points. Thoughts on the game tonight? They're all obviously traveling the West Coast, not until 9 o'clock game, 9 o'clock start locally. Do you think the Grizzlies win tonight? What are your general thoughts on the game first off?
Yeah, well, Bogey didn't play last time they met either, which was obviously, you know, he's one of their best scorers. So that's something to remember too. And then, I mean, the biggest key for the Grizzlies against the Kings is try not to stink because the Kings have lost 8 games in a row. Like the Kings are really bad right now, which is kind of surprising. And I guess zooming out even a little bit further, maybe there's a bigger lesson to take from what the Kings are going through right now. I'm not ready to, you know, completely write off write them off. They are the Kings. I mean, they have been bad for a long time. But it really felt like, didn't it, last year that the Kings were, like, trending in the right direction? Like, yeah. In the second half of the season. And then they fire Jaeger, they hire Luke Walton, and, like, you know, they were sort of in the mix at the beginning of the year. And now they're, I mean, they're playing really, really poorly. And I don't know. Maybe it's a lesson about maybe it's a reason for us to look at the roster the Grizzlies have assembled and to commend the front office for having Jay Crowder and for having Solomon Hill and for attempting to make Andre Iguodala part of it. Because I don't know if the veteran presence is there for the Kings in the way that it needs to be for that team to take the next step. And I mean, they're really struggling right now. They've got a lot of guys that aren't shooting, you know, their career averages, like Buddy Hield below his career averages. De'Aaron Fox, I don't think, has been as good as people expected them to be this year. They went out and signed Dwayne Dedman as a free agent from the Hawks. And
he's not even playing.
And like, he like wants to be traded. And so I don't know, man. There's some head scratching stuff going on. Here's a theory, Mark. I think the Grizzlies, this is out there, so hear me out on this. I think the Grizzlies should free Marco tonight and try and get Marco like 10 or 11 shots from beyond the arc and get him going. And the reason being is that he and Vlade Divac are both from Serbia. And so Vlade is actually Marco's like childhood hero. And so maybe if they can get Marco to go off in front of Vlade, the Kings will want to make a trade for Marco.
Look, I don't ever believe in the showcase of the player of the thing, just because they're largely who they are. However, I like this idea because I want to get Mark off this roster. And if I've seen different stuff to where they've made Bogdan Bogdanovich available. And if you make if Bogdan Bogdanovich is available and the Grizzlies don't go asking and see if they can't get him, then that's a major disappointment. I would love to see that. I think he would feel great on the team. He's an excellent shooter. Like you mentioned, Dwayne Dedman's not even playing. That's also because Richaun Holmes is a much better player than they thought he was going to be. So I'll give them that. Yeah. They didn't think they were going to have Richaun Holmes and Dwayne Dedman at this particular juncture, both being good. But you got to figure out a way to play on both. I mean, I just think Luke Walton's a terrible coach. Like, I think that's what it boils down to with this team, but I think he's a bad coach. He wasn't good with the Lakers. He's just not a good coach. And I think that's what it boils down to. I think they fired Dave Jaeger, I think, was a mistake. I think Dave is actually a pretty good coach. And this team, like you mentioned, is on a downturn. But if they can find a way to go out and get Bogdan Bogdanovich, or even if they wanted to go out and find a way to get Dwayne Dedman, I would take him as a backup big off the bench because – God knows the Grizzlies need a good one. I mean, you know, or just something they can go to whenever Jaren's having an off night.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing with Dedman is that, like, you expect him to be able to stretch the floor, but his three-point numbers are terrible this year. He's just, like, one of a number of guys on this Kings team that I think is sort of underperforming in terms of their shooting, like, normal shooting percentages. So, I'm not ready to completely write the Kings off, but I think they are a little bit of a warning. I don't know. I mean, maybe Harrison Barnes is that veteran guy. You got Trevor Ariza, but I don't know. I think it's a credit when you compare the team's rosters where they are right now. I think you do have to credit the Grizzlies veterans, the Crowders, the Solomon Hills, and some of those other guys who have been around for a little bit. You know, the Grizzlies had their stretch of 9 losses in 10 games earlier this season. But I think the veterans had something to do with getting that back on track. And, you know, maybe it's time for those guys like Barnes and Ariza in Sacramento to keep that season from going off the rails. Because if they play up to – the Kings play up to the talent level that they have, they're the team that should be the 8th seed. I mean, if the Portland Trailblazers are going to be bad, decided to be bad, and the OKC Thunder are going to sell some stuff off and not really make a run at it, like, I mean, the Kings have the talent, in my opinion, to be that team. And, you know, maybe it's on their veterans to sort of get it going back in that direction.
Well, if you look at their roster, there are two players shooting above 35% that really matter. Like, there are some of the players that are shooting above 35%, but they're taking like 1-3. Bogdan Bogdanovich and Buddy Hield. Everybody else, Trevor Ariza, Harrison Barnes, De'Aaron Fox, they're all shooting 32-33% from three, which is not great for those guys. You expect those guys to be way better in that situation than they have been, which even furthers my case if, again, I hope that Vlade Divac and the Kings think they're out of it and just start selling pieces, because I would love to be a Bogdan Bogdanovic buyer. I mean, he's one of my favorite players. He's shooting 39% from three on 7 attempts per game. Like, that's impressive, really and truly. It really is. And something the Grizzlies could really use instead of that Dylan Brooks efficiency. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, you know, he likes the three ball. He'll actually shoot it more than he shoots the two. So that's, yeah, I don't know how he factored, because I think Dylan Brooks might be a little better defender, but I mean, he would be an intriguing piece because of the fact that he's so trigger happy.
Who cares if he could play defense? If you score 150 a game, we don't need defense. You know,
right.
Defense does not win championships. It does not. Whoever made that saying has not been on enough offensive teams. It's just the truth. Like, if you go back, and I tell this people all the time, they don't believe me. Like, if you go back and look at all NBA finals, it's never been a top five defense that's won the final, but been a championship. They made it to the finals, top 10 defense that made it to the finals, but it definitely helps you get there. But if you score 150, who cares, David? That's all I'm saying. Go get Bogdanovic. Yeah. Take our advice here. Either way, the Grizzlies, again, it's the team that really struggles for the perimeter. But if they get going, they can get going. I mean, if De'Aaron Fox, they got shooters, that's for sure. So the Grizzlies have to defend the perimeter, something we talked about on the previous show with the Kings. So they got to defend the perimeter. And number two, the biggest thing I had on that list was stopping Buddy Hield. They did a great job of it last time. I held him to 8 points, but he averages 23 points a game, and he takes 11 threes a game. He's shooting 39% from three as well. So, like, limiting Buddy Hield is key in this matchup for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been so up and down this year. But, I mean, I guess that's Dylan Brooks' assignment, you know. And so –
yeah.
A chance for Dylan again. I mean, it's almost like every night this season is showcase night for him and restricted, you know, as he heads towards restricted free agency. But I mean, you talk about peers or maybe people that he would aspire to be in this league. I mean, Buddy is one of those guys that, you know, he was a guy who was in college for a while, just like Dylan, a guy who some people had doubts about, who's really made a name for himself, and he's getting paid now. And that's something that Dylan Brooks, you know, the mold that he wants to follow. So I think an interesting matchup tonight, assuming they're guarding each other, which I would anticipate they will be, a chance for Dylan Brooks to kind of, again, show, prove something against a player, a peer, I guess, somebody that, you know, he would aspire to be, somebody who's in the mold that he's trying to follow.
I absolutely agree with that. Buddy Hield was 2-for-11 from three last time they played, 18% from three. So that's what you're gonna have to have. You got to limit their good players, and Buddy Hield is one of the better ones they have. De'Aaron Fox versus Ja Morant was a good matchup last time. I anticipate it being a good matchup as well. I personally love De'Aaron Fox. I think he's a fantastic point guard and is probably one of the, best matchups for Ja, just so how athletic he is, how quick he is. I think it's one of the harder assignments Ja's had all year, and it proved sure in the last game as well.
Yeah, it was second night of a back-to-back, so I'm willing to give Ja like a little bit of a pass. But
they're on a second night of a back-to-back? Last game. Yeah.
Yeah, and so like I'm willing to give Ja a pass because of that a little bit, but I mean, let's be honest, I think De'Aaron Fox actually outplayed him.
He did.
The last time they met, I just pulled up the box score and he did. Yeah, I'm remembering that correctly. And I asked y'all kind of what he made of that first experience against De'Aaron Fox. And he just talked about his speed and his quickness. And they're like you said, they're kind of mirror images of each other in that way. Their games are a little different, but really not that much. I mean, Fox is left-handed. I think they're pretty similar players. So, I mean, Fox is more seasoned. He's more experienced. But man, Ja's the type that like, I'd be really surprised if he didn't go out there and like be thinking about the fact that De'Aaron Fox outplayed him. Like that's something that like Ja, I feel like is going to internalize and not let happen again. That's just like who he is. He just has that fire and that sort of intensity about him and that sort of memory. Like, you know, he's going to say, you know what, like this guy outplayed me last time on my home floor. And I from what we know about Ja to this point, I wouldn't at all be surprised if he comes out and has a really good night tonight.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. That's how Ja thinks. I mean, he's a guy that strikes me as somebody who remembers, you know, like it doesn't go away from him. He kind of, and it's a little bit of Russell Westbrook kind of thing like that. He kind of sleeps on it and understands and knows, okay, I got you next time. I kind of think so. That doesn't surprise me. Like Jaren doesn't strike me as that guy at all. Like Jaren strikes me as a guy. Right. Just once he leaves the court, he's like, all right, whatever. We're just going to move on here and we'll just see you next time. But Josh strikes me as a guy who stews. Like he goes home and he's like, man, I cannot believe that happened to me tonight. And he's like, all right, and he kind of circles the date on the calendar for the next game. That's really how Josh kind of mindset is. He's a very focused individual, but nonetheless,
I agree.
The Grizzlies take on the Kings tonight. David, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today. What can people read from you this week?
Yeah, so I just posted something looking back on David Stern's impact in Memphis. Grizzlies obviously released a statement in the wake of his passing on Wednesday, but then I looked back through our archives to sort of give a glimpse at some of the times that he came to visit and sort of what he did for the city, and then I analyzed how Ja's taken fewer shots now since he's returned from back spasms, maybe why that is or is not something to be concerned about. So those are a couple of pieces that are up. And of course, there'll be more over the next couple of weeks.
Fantastic, David. I appreciate you taking the time out. If you're not already following David on Twitter, make sure you go do that. Follow me on Twitter at King_producer. Follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnGrizz. Make sure you go and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss conversations like this we have every single day with people like David and Joe and Amari. Go subscribe to the podcast and whatever podcast platform you choose, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, or Apple iTunes. If you're in Apple iTunes, make sure you rate and review the show. It really helps us out, and I would appreciate it. David, we will talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, man.